I want to welcome all of you here this morning. This is the second Sunday of Easter. I also want to welcome those of you that have joined us on our Facebook Live and on our phone patch. But I also want to especially welcome all of our guests here that have joined us for this special service, this ordination service for Aaron Hendrickson. It is a special time for us in the Seattle congregation, and we are very thankful to have you here to join us as we witness this blessing that God bestows upon His Word. And so we are thankful. I know I'm personally thankful, Aaron, for the time that we have been able to spend together serving here in this congregation, and I'm thankful that you have agreed to the process of ordination, which has taken a bit of time. But I know the congregation also has been blessed. We appreciate the hearing of the Word, and we are thankful that we have a God who supplies through His Holy Spirit to bring us that Word that is really life itself. You know, the gift that we have is ministered through individuals that are frail, and that's who we are. There is one verse that I would like to open with, and it's one that I think will always remind me of you, Aaron, because you use it many times when you have opened our service with prayer. It is from the first letter that the Apostle Peter wrote. The fourth chapter and the 11th verse reads in this way. We'll read in Jesus' name. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we're going to open with song number 365, The Church's One Foundation, number 365.
Thank you. Shall we unite our hearts in prayer, thanksgiving? We come together this Lord's Day looking to the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who lowered himself to this earth so that he would be able to identify with people such as you and I, the fallen nature, that he would be able to instill in us this great gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the many ways that you have worked when we were not even aware of, and how you have so gently been able to deal with all the various people that you came in contact with through your ministry. We thank you, Lord, that you have not rewarded us according to our iniquities, but that you have been able to reward us through the righteousness of that one who was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so, as we conduct this service, we ask your blessing, Lord, the one who has loved us and given yourself for us, the one who continues to seek after those who are yet uncertain of where they stand before a almighty and a righteous God. For it is your will that all would come to understand and to believe this gospel, which is able to make them wise unto salvation. So we ask, Lord, that you would bless those who are here this morning, all of the various people, knowing that you know the thoughts, you know the intents of our hearts, and you're able to respond as a kind and loving Father responds to your children. So we turn to you, asking your blessing. Hear us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We'll continue this morning by reading the words of Psalm number 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. And as we begin the service this morning, We thought that it'd be appropriate to provide a little context and explanation as to what ordination is and why we're having this service today. So beginning back in the history of the early Christian church, it's always been a practice that we would seek out and select men in our congregations to serve as elders in the church, to preach the gospel, and to serve the congregations as a servant. In our church federation, the congregations are the ones who select their ministers, their speakers, their elders. And Aaron has served here in the Seattle congregation for some time already as a speaker. Your congregation in early 2022 contacted our central board and asked us to begin the process of interviewing and examining Aaron for ordination. And we've met with him two times. We've listened to some of the sermons that he's spoken, and we approved him for ordination at our meeting last fall. The service today is to formally ordain him into the ministry of our church federation. And not only will he continue to serve here in this congregation as he is called and as he's able, but his name also will be included in the ministerial role of our federation. And in that place, he may be called to speak at our convention services and other federation-sponsored services and events. So let us continue now with the singing of the next hymn, number 465, O For a Thousand Tongues.
To sing.
I expect to be standing without being able to hide behind the pulpit, but I guess it'll work out. I probably should have shined my shoes a little better, but I guess that's kind of a small thing. We'll read a portion of Scripture found in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. We'll read the whole chapter, 18 verses of 2 Corinthians 4. It speaks a little bit about Paul and his preaching. And since we are ordaining our brother into the ministry, it gives us a little insight as to some of the things that Paul probably dealt with as well. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and as ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Many of us are well acquainted with Paul's history in the past, how there was a time when he saw the Christian church, that the early church, the new church that began at Pentecost, when Peter was able to preached to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and many were pricked in their hearts when they heard the word that Peter was preaching. And there was a question. They were asked, well, what must we do? What must we do to be saved? And Peter didn't give a real complicated answer to that question. He said simply to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, as the early church came together, there were those that violently opposed it. It wasn't a passive resistance. We read of Paul dragging people off and having the authority from the various leaders of the Sanhedrin to have people even put to death, as they were able to see or read firsthand of when Stephen, who was brought before the council, and he spoke of all the ways that the Lord had delivered the people in times past. He went through kind of some of the things that Moses went through and the people went through, how they were led from the land of Egypt and went through the promised land. And then he makes mention of the fact that there were those that resisted, and he kind of became more direct in his message toward those people, and he said that you have treated your prophets very poorly. Some of them have been put to death and have been stoned, and various things that had happened to the people who were trying to minister to them the good news of the gospel, because they were not willing to turn from their various idol worship that they were in. And so many of God's prophets in times past were treated very harshly, very poorly. And we know we enjoy a great amount of freedom here in this land. We're able to preach and we're able to freely express the gospel of Jesus Christ without fear of being imprisoned or being beaten or punished. But it was not so in the early church. We read of Peter being in prison, James having been put to death, and then Peter also was arrested because Herod saw that it pleased the people that he had James put to death, one of the apostles. And so Peter was put in a prison, and we're able to read how there were 16 soldiers, I think, that were appointed to watch over him. But the angel of the Lord came and was able to release Peter in the night. He woke him up. And as they walked out of the prison, the doors opened before them. And we're able to understand how the Lord in his power was able to make sure that the gospel is ministered to those people. There were 3,000, it tells us, that received the gospel of Jesus Christ on Pentecost. And later on, it says there were 4,000 who received the gospel. And they were able to come to know what it was, as Paul writes about here, especially when he says that he has given us this treasure that is in earthen vessels. And as I was thinking about the treasure that we have in earthen vessel, sometimes we forget, or perhaps are not aware, that our Lord Himself came to this earth and He became an earthen vessel so that He would be able to identify with us. And we know that as his mission was to fill us with His treasure. Paul says that he came here in poverty, but He came to make us rich. He came to bring riches unto us. And this is the beauty of the gospel. We don't preach ourselves. We are imperfect people. But we preach about the One who is perfect. And not only that, He's able to impute his righteousness unto us. And that is hard for our minds to understand or to comprehend. But we know that the eyes of our understanding are to be enlightened so that we are able to see this great gift that has been given to each one of us, all who are gathered here today. You have this treasure that is in a earthen vessel. He knows our frame as it is written in the 103rd Psalm. He knows that we are dust. He knows the frailty of our nature. And he identified with us frail creatures on this earth, that he would be able to instill in us this treasure that will shine forth as a reflection of his mercy and of his grace that he came to bring to us. And so Paul tells us that we are troubled. His ministry was not an easy one. We are able to read how he was beaten on some occasions. We read about him in the city of Philippi. He ended up in a jail because he was preaching the gospel. There were those who beat him. And at midnight, there was an earthquake. And here is Paul and Silas in the middle of this prison. And the jailer was about to take his own life. And Paul cries out to him and says, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." And this is the calm spirit of God that rests upon his people. They know that this spirit does not generate a spirit of fear or uncertainty, but it generates a spirit of calmness and of a sound mind. We live in a world where there's a lot of chaos. We are reluctant to even turn on the news because of all of the things that happen. But when we are able to read what God's word and how it has been able to affect people, we are able to be satisfied that this is a powerful substance, this word. When Paul writes to the Roman believers, he tells them, this word is able to blow apart the powers of darkness because it is God's word. It is his word that formed all things. He simply spoke his word, and the earth that was without form or void came into existence by speaking his word. When he was hanging on the cross, he was able to utter words of forgiveness and words of promise and words of victory. When he finally said, "It is finished," he had completed the work that he had come to this world to perform. And so now we are the beneficiaries of this one who allowed himself to become a vessel of clay, so that we are now able to enjoy this great treasure that is more precious than gold or silver or any other precious stone or element. And so God, it is his desire that none would perish. We read when Peter writes in his epistle, he tells that God is not willing that any would perish, but he is long-suffering. And that's why he continues to allow this world to stand, because he knows there are many, many people that we perhaps are not aware of that will come to faith and come to believe the saving gospel that Paul finally came to understand himself when he was on that one road. When he got up that morning, it was the farthest thing probably from his mind that he was going to become a follower of Jesus Christ. But by that day, when the Lord appeared to him, he was disarmed by God's word, by the question that Jesus asked him, by the bright light that made him blind, when he was asked, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you? And the question can be for those who have probably not yet been able to believe this good word, why have you not believed? Because it is a word that frees us from our past. John Wesley wrote in that song that we just sang, he breaks the power of canceled sin. And it is this that we are able to know, that the covenant that God has made with us is a new covenant, a covenant that we're able to keep, because God said, I will remember their sin no more. He's able to forgive, and he's able to forget. And so when we are in contact with the living God, we're in contact with the Lord who appeared to that woman by Jacob's well. We're in contact with the one who was able to raise Lazarus from the dead, who had been dead for 4 days. And so, as Paul writes here about being persecuted, not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So he experienced the powerful nature of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, because he did not remain in a grave. He did not remain there, but he has been raised again, as he says. And he says, we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. That's a beautiful promise for us. It's a beautiful promise for those who have lost loved ones. This Spirit, which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, shall raise up us also. Paul lived by the promises of God. And when he wrote to Timothy, his final letter, as it is recorded, he said, the Lord has a crown of righteousness awaiting for me. He said, I'm about to be delivered. And with that confident expectation in his letter, he said, it's not only for me, but he said, it's for all those who love his appearing. May God add his blessing, reading, speaking of his word. Our next song is 336, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
My hope is built on nothing less.
it was a joy to welcome all of you here, and now that I've been able to hear you sing, it is a pleasure and a special blessing to, I think, all of us to be able to hear this church once again resound with glory to God. You know, this church has been blessed throughout the years with many young men that have started in the ministry. We have been blessed to be able to be under the hearing of the Word. You know, that is, I think, the greatest blessing that we have, that our families have bestowed upon us. And so I'm thankful that each of you, as the family of God, have joined us here today. You know, thankfulness is one thing that we all can do. You know, but I think God has bestowed upon every one of us special gifts and blessings to be a part of this family. And I think that's important for us to exercise that. You know, and so I have had a special relationship with Aaron because of the ministry, as we have shared in the Word, but also with Renee and the family. We don't want to forget you. And we have appreciated your presence in our midst, the fellowship that we have had, you know, and it's going to continue, right? We are thankful. That's the blessing we have in the family of God. It doesn't end here. Only when time ends for us, you know, and then, even then, the memories are so special to look back. You know, we've had our 50th anniversary. Last Sunday was of the 50th, the first service that was in this church was on Sunday. You know, and it was so good to remember, you know, as we have considered all of those that have gone before. Because they have testified to us of what? Not of themselves. They have had a part of themselves. But they have testified of Jesus Christ. They have testified of this Word that is living, this Word that is life. And it is in that Word that today that we rejoice. So I want to thank you again all for coming and the blessing that we've had to be able to share, and will continue to share in fellowship. Let's pray. Lord God, dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee out of the full heart that Thou hast granted us to live in this blessed time when Thou, of Thy holy gospel, may be freely heard and men may know Thy fatherly will. We beseech Thee, may Thy holy word be preached in its truth and purity, that all may behold Thy grace and the salvation which Thy Son obtained for all of us. Grant that we may retain the light of Thy holy word, so rule in our hearts with Thy Holy Spirit, that we may never fall from this word, but may abide therein to our final and blessed salvation. This we ask through Jesus Christ, Thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with Thee and the Holy Spirit, one true God, world without end. Amen. We hear from the Apostle Paul, as he has written in his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. We read these in Jesus' name. And such trust have we through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think that anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us abide ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. And then in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 21 reads, Jesus therefore said unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Beloved congregation, the Holy Scriptures admonish us to know them that labor among us and are over us in the Lord, and to pray for them and esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. On this day, a new laborer in the church presents himself before this congregation, Aaron Hendrickson, who has received the call to be a minister of the Apostolic Lutheran Church of Seattle, is now to be ordained into the holy office of the ministry. Let us receive him in love and present him before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thou who hast given thy church some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints and to the work of the ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ, we thank thee for thy great mercy, and we bless thy holy name, that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins or much unfaithfulness, but hast graciously preserved among us this to this present day thy holy word and precious sacraments. We pray thee, have mercy upon us. May the Holy Spirit enlighten and direct us, comfort and strengthen us, and may the sacred act we are about to perform redound to thy honor and to thy glory, to the increase of the kingdom. To this thou hast decreed in the holy word these words, so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. May thy blessedness abide upon this thy servant, and may we all be builded up in the faith which is in thee, thou rock of our salvation, immovable forever. Amen. And now let us hear the testimony of God's holy word, considering this sacred office.
In the 28th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, verses 18 through 20, it is written, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And then from Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 32, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves men shall arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I caused not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." And also in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 15, 16, 23, 4, and 5, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Foolishness and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth."
This scripture found in 1 Peter, 5th chapter, verses 1 through 4. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And this scripture found in 2 Timothy 3 chapter, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And this scripture also in 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter, verses 2 through 4. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Amen.
May these words of God be a reminder to you of your responsibility and be a guide for your conduct. May they urge you fervently and humbly to submit yourself unto the service of the Good Shepherd. The Christian congregation hopes that you realize the solemn importance of this ministry and that you submit to examining regarding the holy responsibility into which you are entering and have prayed for grace and strength faithfully to perform the duties of your office. Fight the good fight of faith. Run the course that God has set before you and attain everlasting life. Neglect not the gift that is in thee by the prophecy, by the laying on of hands of the presbytery. If thou put thy brethren in remembrance of all these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto he has attained. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. The laborer is worthy of his reward. These words are from 1 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 14, and 5, 17, 18, and 21. And then this, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before the other, doing nothing by partiality. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. I therefore charge and enjoin upon you that you give diligence always to preach the word of God in its purity, as found in the Old and New Testaments, and is taught in the Apostolic Lutheran Church, that you administer the two sacraments, as instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that you admonish your listeners faithfully to a true repentance from sin and to believe their sins forgiven in the name and in the shed blood of Jesus and to live according to the word of God in love toward God and man, and that you yourself will make a sincere effort endeavoring to live according to the word of God, so to serve the Lord in truth as a right shepherd of the flock entrusted to you. Will you promise me here, in the presence of all-knowing God, in full dependence upon the grace which the triune God shall bestow, to perform all these in fidelity?
I do.
Do you believe in one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and acknowledge him head over all things to the church, which is his body? Do you believe in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be the Word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and of practice?
I do.
Do you sincerely believe the principles of the doctrine of Christ, which are as follows: repentance from dead works, of faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment? Do you promise to subjection to your brethren in the Lord, as long as they counsel you in accordance with the word of God?
I do.
Do you seek the office of the holy ministry from the love of God and a sincere desire to promote the glory in the gospel of his Son and to the saving of souls?
I do.
Do you promise to remain in the pure word of God and strive to grow therein, to shun all unscriptural doctrines, to faithfully preach Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation according to the word of God, and to administer the holy sacraments as Jesus instituted them?
I do.
Do you promise to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all your duties as a Christian and as a minister of the gospel, whether personal, private, or public, and to endeavor by the grace of God to be exemplary in conduct in your profession of the gospel before the flock of which God shall make you overseer?
I do.
The authority of Christ cannot be separated from the infallibility of the Holy Bible. The two are the same. Christ and the Scriptures are one. Do you believe this?
I do.
Do you promise to adhere to the scriptural teachings as are taught in our church and abide by the decisions made at our annual church convention, which are those which are in accordance with the Bible?
I do.
Will you now confess your faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
May the Lord God give you grace firmly to remain in this faith to the end, and to strengthen others likewise to remain faithful. I, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, do ordain you unto the sacred gospel ministry in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, with the authority and power as a right servant of God and Jesus Christ, to declare the infallible word of God both in public and in private, to administer the holy sacraments in accordance with their institution, to loose sin upon the penitent and to bind sin upon the unrepentant, to perform thy holy calling with the word of God and practice our practices of our Apostolic Lutheran Church. Let us now pray. Merciful, everlasting God, by the word of thine only begotten Son, thou hast taught us that thy harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few, that we should pray the Lord of the harvest, that he should send forth laborers into his harvest. Hear therefore the prayer we offer in behalf of him, and we ordain this day to be a servant in thy church. Lord, keep him in thy name, and sanctify him in thy truth, and strengthen him in faith and in love towards thee, and bestow upon him, through thy Holy Spirit, the gifts of ministration, that he may become a right laborer in thy harvest. Help him to proclaim thy word with boldness and fidelity, to counsel, comfort, and rebuke all with meekness and wisdom. In all things conduct himself as a good steward of thy manifold grace. Be with him in every conflict and trial, and make him patient and humble in heart. For thy word is made perfect in weakness. Make fruitful his labor according to thine own good pleasure. And when his day of toil shall end, receive him with joy and through thine own presence, there to inherit a portion with all thy saints in everlasting bliss. Hear this for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll now continue with hymn number 281, O Father Mine, Whose Mercies Never Cease. Number 281.
Schedule for this coming week. Tuesday, there will be a board meeting on Zoom at 7 p.m. Wednesday, we'll have Bible study at 7 p.m. That will be at Tom and Lori's home. Friday, 10 a.m., women's Bible study at Stan and Shirley's. Saturday, 8 a.m., men's Bible study also at Stan and Shirley's. Next Sunday, we'll have Bible study here at 10:15 in the morning and then morning worship at 11. Lunch is being prepared downstairs following service. I'm supposed to let you guys know it won't be right away. We're going to try and give time for a reception line. So feel free to visit, and then the food will be put out, and we'll get started. We're going to close with 361, and during this song, a free will offering will be received. After that song, We'd like to stand and sing the doxology number 666 in the Blue Book.